Ephesians 5:15 to 21. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence in Christ.
When it works. Joe's a smart man. I've had this experience before where pastors did this crazy thing. They made fun of me, and then they handed me a microphone. It might be cute, but it's not really smart. And Joe, you clearly understood that. However, I will say to you, those who chase people with water coolers may themselves be chased with water coolers, all right? I'm so glad to be back with you guys again today and share the word with you. But have this real deep sense in my heart that it will not be my words that impact you today, but the voice of the Spirit. And I'm going to ask you to do something that might be a little different for you this morning. I want to give you a prayer and ask you to pray it. And I'm going to ask you to pray it out loud. And I'm going to give it to you phrase by phrase. But I'm going to give it to you in its entirety before we start praying it so you can decide whether you're willing to pray it or not. All right? This is what we're going to pray. God, speak to me today so that I can know you better, love you more, and live in a way that brings you pleasure and glory. That's what we're gonna ask God to do today. God, speak to me today so that I can know you better, love you more, and live in a way that brings you pleasure and glory. If you can pray that, you can pray it honestly. If that's the cry of your heart, then I want you to say it with me out loud. I'm gonna give it to you phrase by phrase, okay? So we're gonna say together, God, speak to me today, so that I can know you better and love you more and live in a way that brings you pleasure and glory. God, that's a cry of our heart today. Speak to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I love that you guys are in a series on the Holy Spirit, digging into the scriptures and asking the question, who is the Spirit and how does he work? A lot of Christians believe in the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And while they have an idea of who God the Father is and they believe and trust in the Son, Jesus, many are not quite so sure about the Holy Spirit. Some Christians seem to be obsessed with the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's all they talk about. And then some Christians are scared of the Holy Spirit. I can just remember growing up thinking, Holy Ghost, I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure I'm interested in that. But a lot of Christians just aren't sure who he is and how to engage. In fact, in his book, I can highly recommend it. Tyler Staton calls the Holy Spirit the familiar stranger. And I wonder this morning if that might capture your understanding or experience of the Holy Spirit. Hopefully the sermons that you've heard the last couple of weeks are beginning to give you a greater understanding of the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. And I want to remind you of a few things as we get started this morning. The Holy Spirit is not an it. It's not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's not a force or a feeling. He is the third person of the Trinity, the Holy God. The Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters, is not optional or unnecessary in your life with God. And I'm really afraid that a lot of times that's how we operate. We operate like that's for, you know, the first class, the high achievers, the people who are, you know, some sort of special ops Christians. He's not a third wheel. He's an essential player in our knowing and loving and walking with God. Listen, you come to know and believe in Jesus by the work of the Spirit. He's the one who draws you. He's the one who uncovers truth. He's the one who grants you faith to believe. You are sustained and kept in every way by the Holy Spirit. You overcome sin and temptation by the power of the Holy Spirit. You are taught and led by the Holy Spirit. You bear fruit in your life because of the Holy Spirit in you. In fact, without the Holy Spirit, you're not a Christian. I know that sounds harsh. Let me say it again. In fact, without the Holy Spirit, you are not a Christian. Romans 8:9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. The Holy Spirit is a person who is absolutely essential for every follower of Jesus. It's not optional, y'all. It's essential that you and I know and understand. It's crazy to me that we would be content to be ignorant of someone that Jesus was so excited about. Like, Jesus believed in the Holy Spirit. You do know that, right? He talked about him. In fact, he told his disciples in John 16, listen to this. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. This is Jesus speaking, not me, okay? It's to your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Now, I want you to think for just a second about just how crazy this had to sound to those disciples. I mean, here they are standing with Jesus. Their journey with Jesus began when he said to them, follow me. Come follow me. And they left everything and everybody for him. Y'all, they bet the farm on Jesus and his coming kingdom. They weren't partly in, they were all in. They were absolutely convinced that he was the long-awaited Messiah. So for 3 years, they walked with him. And now he's telling them, hey, I'm going away. I'm not going to be here anymore. But it's okay. Actually, it's better than okay. It's going to be great. It's actually better for you because when I leave, the Holy Spirit's coming. And if I don't go, he won't come. But I'm going and he's coming and it's going to be awesome. This is my translation, okay? Wait, what? Well, hang on just a second. The disciples are thinking, you're leaving and sending a spirit in your place. And that's good for us. Are you kidding me? Can you just for a second come out of everything you've ever thought and read, the way we read the Bible, and just put yourself in the moment and imagine what that would be like? Hey, I know I told you to follow me. I know I told you I was going to make you fishers and men. I know I told you I was the King and the Messiah and the Lord and the Savior, but hey, I'm about to be out of here. Hang on just a second. Why didn't you tell us this in the beginning? And what do you mean you're going to send a spirit? It had to be nearly unbelievable. But here's what they didn't get. Jesus in the flesh could only be in one place at a time. I thought about this. You know why Lazarus died, right? Well, because he was sick. But Lazarus died because Jesus wasn't there. Jesus couldn't be where Lazarus was and where he was at the same time. Jesus was limited in his flesh to one place. Do I need to pull this out? Like, it's, what you need me to do? That way? Is that better? Can y'all hear me? All right, I don't want you to be distracted by the sound of popcorn, all right? Jesus in the flesh could only be with the disciples, but not in them. He couldn't be everywhere at the same time. but the Holy Spirit would come and be in them and in us, 24/7, always present in and with every believer. Accessible, ready, present, always, everywhere. What Jesus couldn't do in the flesh, the Spirit can do and is doing. That's why Jesus said, hey, it's better. It's better for you that I go, because I'm gonna go, in my flesh, I'm gonna go away, but I'm gonna come to you in the Spirit, and I'm gonna be always ever present with you, filling you, in you, empowering you, leading you, sanctifying you, working in you. Listen, y'all, Jesus was not ambivalent about the Holy Spirit, and we can't be either. He's not optional. He's not an accessory. He's not a distant relative we can just ignore. This morning, we're going to look at a portion of Paul's exhortation to the Ephesians and the command that he gives them, Joe read it to us, to be filled with the Spirit. Now, throughout Paul's letter, he's reminding us of the work of the Spirit. The Spirit is actually engaged in leading us to salvation. We receive the Holy Spirit when we believe the gospel. And Paul already said to the Ephesians, at that point, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is your guarantee that God's going to finish what he started. He's your guarantee of the better things that are to come. The Spirit is the one who empowers us to live the life we are called to live. And he's the one who makes us in the church one with each other. And he leads us to live out of that unity. This is all stuff that Paul has covered in his first four chapters that he wrote to the church at Ephesus. And then Paul is, as he is instructing us in how we live out, he says, walk in a manner worthy. And he gives all these commands, all these do's and don'ts. But then Paul says, okay, here's this command, be filled with the Spirit. Now, I don't know if you think like I think, all right? So when Pastor Keith asked me to preach in this series and he suggested that I might preach this section, be filled with the Spirit, I thought, great, yeah, happy to do that. And then I started reading the passage and I'm saying, hang on just a second. Paul gives me a command but does not tell me how to do it. I don't know about y'all, but I don't enjoy that. If you're gonna instruct me to do something, I need you to, I'm married, y'all. Just tell me how to do it, sweetheart. Just tell me how you want the dishwasher loaded. Because here's what I know, I'm going to load it, you're going to reload it. I don't understand. Just tell me. I know I washed clothes for 20 years before we got married, but I need you to tell me how you want me to do it. Anybody else in the room? Amen. I'm like, girl, I loaded the dishwasher, cooked my dinner, washed my clothes, did all kinds of things before you showed up. I'm capable, but clearly I'm not, all right? This is being recorded. I need somebody to excerpt that out before it's published. Y'all, I don't like being given a command, but then not being instructed in how to do it, because I'm a firstborn and I want to do it right. But Paul says, hey, be filled with the Spirit. But nowhere in these verses does he tell us how to be filled with the Spirit. The fact of the matter is, you can't. You can't do it. You can't fill yourself with the Spirit. And that's all right, because that's not what Paul's telling you to do. I know you don't want a grammar lesson this morning, but I'm going to give you one anyway, because it's super helpful if you understand the grammar here in order to get what Paul is saying, all right? So the verb, the Greek verb that is translated in most of our translations, be filled, is in the imperative. That means it's a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not an offering or an option. It is a do this or die. It is a command. But it's also passive, which means that the filling is done by another. He doesn't say fill yourself. He says be filled. So it's passive. It's someone else does it. The command is be filled. And then the tense of the verb is present. So it means keep continually being filled. It's not past tense. It's not referring to something that has already been happened or completed. Paul says earlier, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's past tense. That's already done. That's something God, but this be filled is present tense. It's not completed yet. And look at me, it's plural. That means that it's for the entire community of believers, not just a select few, not the higher achievers, not the paid staff, not the super spiritual type, not just the elders and deacons, not those who serve. It's for everybody. Look at me. This morning, this command is for you. It's for you. The best translation might be to say it this way, Southern. Ready? All y'all, keep on continually being filled with the Spirit. All y'all. If you're from Pittsburgh, you might say yens. Yens. If you're from Jersey, you might say yous guys. I can't even pretend to do the accent, all right? Whatever your translation is, the word is, look, all of you, every single one of you, all y'all, keep on being filled with the Spirit. But again, y'all, I'm going to ask the question, and maybe you are too, okay? How? How do I do that? In one sense, again, we don't do it. The filling is not our work. It's His work. We are yielding to the Spirit to do a work in us that we cannot do on our own. But that doesn't mean that we don't participate. While I don't do the filling, I have a great responsibility in making myself ready and available, open, interested. And I think what we find in the verses in chapter 5 of Ephesians that surround this command are some clues about how we prepare our hearts and position ourselves to be filled with the Spirit. Okay? So here's what I'm saying to you. This is a work that God wants to do in you. He wants to fill you. He's not interested in just having a little teeny part of you, the Sunday morning part. He's interested in having all of you, in filling you, in dwelling in you, in abiding in you, in transforming you, and living His life in you. Not you doing your best effort to live His life. It's Christ in you that's the hope of glory, y'all. But I have a work to do to position myself to receive, to be filled, to be obedient, submitted, and surrendered to the Spirit, okay? So I'm going to give you this morning from these verses what I think are five ways that you and I are supposed to posture ourselves to be filled with the Spirit. Now, I'm going to say this to you. I see some of you writing, and I think that's a great thing because I want you to understand this. When you come into this place, you are responsible for what you hear. When the Word of God is preached to you by me or anybody else, you're responsible for it. You're responsible, one, to discern whether it is actually accurate teaching of the Word of God. And then, once you decide, by the Spirit of God, studying the Word of God, and in community with other believers, if you decide that it is actually the Word of God, guess what? He expects you to live by it. All right, I'm just going to say it. And here's what the deal, I'm going to say this again. Most of y'all can't remember by the time you get to the grocery store what your wife told you to get at the grocery store. So you write it down. So get you something out, get your phone out, don't scroll, but make some notes, okay? I'm not special, y'all. This is the Word of God. You and I should take it in. All right, you ready? Okay, Amanda, thank you. I'd love for any of the rest of you to join us this morning as we dig into the Word. All right, here we go. First one is be attentive and alert. Be attentive and alert. This is how I posture myself to be filled with the Spirit. Look at what he says in verses 15 to 17. He says, look carefully at how you walk. Hey, pay attention. Be alert. Not as unwise, but as wise. making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Look at what he's saying. Be careful. Be careful, be cautious, be wise, be alert, make the most use of the time, be diligent, and understand what the Lord's will is. Be discerning. You can't be half asleep and do those things. You can't be checked out. You can't be going with the flow. This requires attention, alertness, awake, eyes wide open, taking it in. Paul makes it really clear that it's foolish to think that you and I can go with the flow and live a spirit-filled life. You absolutely can't throw caution to the wind and just do what feels good. You have to be focused and intentional. Y'all, the world we live in is not trending towards godliness. Anybody noticed that lately? That's not the flow. That's not the drift. That's not the way the wind is blowing in the world. You can't just hoist your sail and go with the world, y'all. Paul's assessment here is that the days are evil. Y'all, they are. If you can't see that, you're not paying attention. The world is not trending towards godliness. And if you and I are going to walk in a way that's opposite of the world, that's contrary to the ways of the world, then we have to be alert, awake. We have to be attentive. In chapter 6, he's going to press a little bit harder on this idea. You might be familiar with this. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present, over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Y'all, we're at war. And I'm not talking about what's happening in other parts of the world. I'm talking about the war that you and I, as followers of Jesus, are engaged in with the forces of the evil one. And let me just say this. Some of y'all are like, really, seriously, you believe that? Yes, I do. And I can tell you about places in my own life, in the lives of people that I love, where I'm watching that happen. And y'all, you better not walk into a battle without at least being alert to the fact that you're in a battle. Much of the battle, y'all, is not out there. It's in here. It's in here. I'm not fighting flesh and blood out there. I'm not fighting you or anybody else. I am fighting the enemy who is coming after me. He's coming after you too, but y'all, he's coming after me. Y'all, it's our own fleshly desires that Paul says are at odds with the Spirit. There's an inner tug of war, and y'all, we have to be vigilant, guarding our hearts against the onslaught. Listen, the scripture is absolutely full of this kind of instruction. Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. Pay attention, be alert. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And I think of Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right unto a man, the end of which is death. Y'all, if you don't pay attention, if you aren't alert, you're going to be filled with the desires of the flesh and the ways of the world, and you can't be filled with the Spirit when you're filled with those things. You gotta be alert. You gotta pay attention to what's happening, all right? Paul's really clear that being filled with the Spirit isn't something that just happens to you. It's something that requires that we be focused and discerning. All right, so the first thing I do to position myself, eyes wide open, I'm alert and attentive. The second thing is this, you need to be empty and open. Empty and open. Look at what he says in verse 18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit.
Now, it helps that Paul gives a contrast here to help us understand what he's talking about. The contrast is, hey, you want to be filled with the Spirit? The contrast is, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. In part, Paul is saying that you choose what fills you, right? Nobody gets drunk involuntarily. You choose. You choose what fills you. You choose what fills you, and what fills you will control you. Anybody ever seen a drunk? Been around a drunk? I'm not going to ask if you've ever been drunk. A drunk is under the influence of what fills them. They have allowed themselves to be filled with something that has taken over them and taken control. They've voluntarily given themselves over to the influence of alcohol. All right, so if the goal is to be filled with the Spirit, then I have to make sure I'm open to being filled. I'm ready to be filled. You can't be filled up and controlled by two things. I'm going to say that again. You can't be filled up and controlled by two things. The Holy Spirit doesn't cohabitate. He's not open to or interested in partial residence. He wants the whole thing. So that's why you and I have to clear out the space for him. We have to take other things off the throne. We have to remove those things that seek to control us. The Holy Spirit wants full control. Y'all, we open ourselves to the filling of the Holy Spirit when we empty ourselves of ourselves. Our preferences, our ambitions, our ideas, our dreams, our idols. I want you to understand that all of those things, your preferences, your ambitions, your dreams, your idols, your way of doing things, your ideas, all of that stands in opposition to the Holy Spirit. If you want to be filled with the Spirit, you got to empty yourself of you and make room for him. I heard somebody say recently that the Holy Spirit comes where he is wanted. I wonder, Radiant Church, is he wanted in here? Is he wanted in here? Do we really want the Holy Spirit to come and take residence in this place, to have his way in this place? Y'all, the best way to prove that we want him is to empty ourselves of ourselves and invite his filling. I thought about Jesus' words when I was writing this sermon, Luke 11:13. He says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, right? Us dads, we know how to give good gifts. We understand that. We understand the principle of giving and even the desire. Sometimes our capacity's limited, right, Keith? Right? Like, I can't give them everything I want to. And sometimes that's a good thing. Our capacity is limited, but we understand the principle, right? Moms, you understand that. You understand this desire and the principle of giving good gifts to your kids. And Jesus said, hey, you're evil. You're wicked. You're motivated by selfishness. But if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give, Luke 11:13, the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So ask, invite, clear out and make space for him and invite him to come. Y'all, I thought about this hymn. I don't know, you still sing it. We used to sing it. These things are in my head. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy Spirit till all shall see Christ only, always living in me. Can I just tell you something? That's a prayer I'm pretty confident God will answer. There are a lot of others you might be praying. I don't know whether he intends, desires, or plans to answer those prayers, but I do know that when we clear out space and make a way and position ourselves to receive the Holy Spirit and invite him, he is more than ready to come in. The third thing is this: we have to be teachable and transforming. Teachable and transforming. Verse 18, be filled with the Spirit. In some ways, this goes hand in hand with the idea of being empty and open, the idea of being filled up with whatever we allow into us. And I think one of the beautiful things is there's a parallel passage to this passage. Maybe you know it. Paul wrote very similar thing to the church at Colossae, but it says something a little different, and I think it sheds light on what Paul means here in Ephesians. In Colossians 3, Paul says this, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. Y'all, the work of the Spirit of God in us is directly tied to the word of God. You can't miss this. John 1:1, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only Father, full of grace and truth. And then Jesus said in John 14:6, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. You see that? The Spirit and the Word of Christ working together. John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you that the things that are to come. Church, one of the ways that you and I facilitate, embrace, welcome the filling of the Spirit is by taking in, meditating on, submitting to the transforming work of God through his word. And I'm just going to say it straight up. 30, 45, 50 minutes in here on Sunday morning is not enough. You can't come in here and snack on Jesus and expect to be filled with the Spirit through the week. It requires a saturation in the Word of God. If you want to be filled with the Spirit, then you have to let the Word of God dwell in you richly. You know what I love about that? It says let it. You know what that tells me? It wants to. The Word of God wants to make its dwelling in you. It wants to fill you up. But again, y'all, we have to position ourselves to receive that, to be renewed by that. I think about Paul's instruction to the Romans in Romans 12:2, when he says, hey, don't be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world. Don't go with the flow. Wake up. Pay attention. Be alert. And then he says, you got to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Y'all, the only way that happens is by a steady diet on the Word of God. You got to take it in. You got to learn it. You got to memorize it. You got to sit through it and figure out what it means. Here's what I can tell you. If you don't know how to read the Word of God, you got a couple of staff members and some small group leaders that will gladly meet with you once a week to help you learn how to read the Word of God. Don't walk out here and say, I don't know how to. Figure it out. Figure it out. Ask somebody to help you. But y'all, we have to be saturated with the Word of God if we want to be filled with the Spirit. That's the discernment that comes to us through the Word of God. Y'all, you got to read it and you got to memorize it. And please don't tell me you can't memorize it. My mom died 14 years ago. Goodness. And 7 years before that, she had a stroke. And my mother was a faithful woman of God, a discipler, had hundreds and hundreds of verses memorized. I mean, it was her life. The two things my mama was committed to was memorizing the Word of God and praying for people. She had two stacks of cards. One stack was memory verses and the other stack was prayer cards. And when she died, all over the couch, were those cards. Because that's what she was doing when she had her final stroke. But she had a stroke 7 years earlier, and it was on the speech center of her brain, and she lost all of her verses. It was devastating to her. She was in her 70s, late 70s. You know what my mama did? Affected by a stroke, lost a lifetime of verses, and in her late 70s. You know what she did? She started over. She wrote those verses down. Listen, if my stroke affected 77-year-old mama can figure out how to memorize verses, so can you. You know song lyrics. You know directions. You know telephone numbers. You know all kinds of, you know, sports stats and players and teams. For the love of God, get in the Word of God and let it soak in you and saturate it and memorize it and stop making excuses. You want the Spirit to fill you? Then let yourself be filled with the Word of God. All right, number four, you got to be awed and grateful. Awed and grateful. Verses 18 to 20, be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, hang on a second. My watch is telling me it looks like you've made a hard fall. Shall we? Okay, no, yes, cancel the SOS. We do not need them rolling up in here. Come on, y'all. Okay. I told you, Joe, I'm spicy, right? All right. Now listen, worship is a part. It plays an important role in our being filled with the Spirit. Paul is advocating here for corporate worship, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Y'all, I don't know of any other place where that happens except in corporate worship. I mean, some of y'all might call your buddies up on the phone and just start singing to them. I don't know. Right? Goodness gracious, are y'all with me? Are we alert? Anybody call their friends and sing songs to them? Okay? Where you address each other in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs? Where? Thank you. Anybody else? Let's say it together. Here. Here. In corporate worship, in the corporate gathering. Y'all, your worship in the corporate gathering is not just between you and God. It is for the sake of your brothers and sisters who see and hear you calling out the greatness of God and are stirred and called to believe that greatness. Y'all, we speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs recount the greatness of God. They call out the character of God. They speak of the faithfulness of God. And that's what you and I are supposed to be saying to each other. About half the mess we say to each other doesn't do anything for us in causing us to be filled with the Spirit. The gossip, the carrying on, the whining and complaining. Stop it. The scripture says, don't grumble and complain. Do everything without grumbling and complaining. Try that this week. Don't step in the parking lot or in here or in the side. Listen, I've been a preacher's kid and a pastor for 40 years. I know what happens. I'm not stupid. Right? Well, you look stupid. I don't care how I look. Y'all, the scripture's clear to us. Our conversation with each other ought to be stoking and fanning the flame of fire and flame of faith and nothing else. So get busy. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And when you get in here, sing loud. Sing like you mean it. Sing like you believe it. Stir up faith in your own heart and the hearts of your brothers and sisters. He's talking about corporate worship, but he's also talking about private worship. He says, make melody in your heart to the Lord. Make melody in the heart. Listen, y'all, this is so important. We make space in our hearts and minds for God when we worship him and give him thanks. Do you get that? Anybody in the room anxious to go visit somebody that has all kinds of complaining to do about who you are and what you've done? Anybody? Like, I just can't wait to get with them. Where do you go? You go where you're enjoyed, right? For me, that's a limited number of places, but that's okay. Right? The Holy Spirit of God is enticed. He's welcomed when you and I make much of his glory, when we sing of his greatness, when our minds and hearts are tuned into him. Because, y'all, it's about him. It ain't about us. Goodness, y'all going to get me fired up in here. You better start. Here we go. Y'all, we cultivate an openness to him when he focuses on his character and his work. That's what he's talking about. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude. I'm thinking about how God deals with me. Y'all, when we sing together out loud, full of passion and delight, we call each other to open our hearts to God. You sing in the shower. You sing in your car. You sing at concerts. For the love of God, sing in church. Here's a simple truth. You love what you worship. I'm about to go after some of you, and it's going to be painful, okay? And I make no apologies for it. You love what you worship. Whatever you delight in, you sing about it, you talk about it, you dream about it, you meditate on it, and that makes its way into your heart. It takes up residence in you. It fills you. Worship fills you with desire. I want you to listen to me. In Romans 1, Paul describes what happens to men when they don't worship and give thanks to God. He talks, he's talking about how they experience not the favor of God, but the wrath of God. Listen to it. Romans 1, verse 21. For although they knew God, hello, you know God? Don't exempt yourself from the possibility of falling into this category. Although they knew God, they did not honor him. They didn't sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. They didn't delight in him. They didn't honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is forever blessed. Y'all, listen, we are just as susceptible to the possibility of that happening to us as they were in Rome in the day that Paul wrote the book of Romans. If I don't turn my heart toward the things of God, if I don't guard my heart, if I don't saturate my own heart by calling out the goodness and greatness of God, I'm going to start to worship created things. Can I just say this? You can't celebrate worldliness and expect to end up at godliness. Here we go. Might not get invited back, Keith, but it's okay. You ready? You can't sing about immorality and infidelity and drunkenness and obsession with the things of the world and expect to love what God loves and hate what he hates. Y'all, I'm crushed by the number of young moms in our church who took their daughters to see Taylor Swift. And I'm not just picking on her. She's just an example. Those songs you love, you sing, you introduce your kids, you take them to the concerts. Print those lyrics out. Print them out. Get in the presence of God and read them and see if they bring pleasure and joy to the heart of God. You can't cultivate a heart that delights in wickedness and worldliness and expect to have a heart that loves and is open to the filling of the Holy Spirit. You got to be alert. You got to pay attention. You got to be open. You got to empty yourself. But y'all, you got to fill yourself up with the truth of God and sing the glory and greatness and goodness of God. I'm not sure that the Spirit of God can or will fill a heart that's ambivalent about sin. The last is this, be humble and submitted. You know, I told Keith, I almost just left this off, but you can't. It's kind of like a dangling participle. It's right there. It's there. It's a part of the whole flow. It's a part of the whole flow. Verse 21, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, if you keep reading, what you know is Paul's about to segue to a whole section of this letter where he addresses interpersonal relationships, family, husbands and wives, children and parents, and work relationships, bondservants and masters, workers and bosses. But this verse is so much more than a bridge to a new topic. Listen, don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't separate these. Paul says, be filled with the Spirit, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Y'all, we make room for the filling of the Spirit of God to fill us when we posture ourselves in humility and submission toward one another. Again, the parallel passage in Colossians 3 will give us a little bit of insight. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Verse 17, and whatever you do, y'all, that's all inclusive. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Y'all, I'm supposed to do everything I do. I'm supposed to say everything I say because of who he is and for his glory. In the name of Jesus, as if Jesus would do this. As if Jesus would say this. In Jesus' name, I'm acting as his agent, as his emissary. We like to talk about being the hands and feet of Jesus, right? Y'all use that phrase around here? Whew, goodness. Keith, do they talk to you at all? Y'all need to repent and talk when he asks you to talk. Do you use that phrase? Have you ever said that? Be the hands and feet of Jesus. Okay, I see the hands. That's like, all right. Be the mouth of Jesus. What would Jesus say? Not just what would Jesus do. What would Jesus say? In Jesus' name, for his glory, calling attention to him, y'all, I'm supposed to do it. Listen, can you imagine the Holy Spirit of God being comfortable and at home in a heart that's filled with pride and selfishness? No, humble yourselves. A heart that insists on its own comfort and pleasure, is that a heart ready for the Spirit of God to dwell? Y'all, you can't be filled up with the Spirit of Christ who, Ephesians 2, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in a human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. You can't be filled up with that Spirit of Christ and be filled up with pride and selfishness. It won't happen. It won't happen, y'all. You got to humble yourselves. If you want to be filled with the Spirit of God, then you're going to have to humble yourself and submit. You know, I was thinking about this. These five things, they aren't just how you posture yourself to be filled with the Spirit. They are the very evidences that you are filled with the Spirit. Think about it a second. Alert, attentive, discerning, empty, and open, teachable, transforming, receiving the word of God, awed and grateful, humble and submitted. They aren't just how you posture yourself. They are the very work of the Spirit of God in you as he fills you. So let me ask you, not y'all, you, do you want to be filled with the Spirit? Do you want others to see Christ in you always and only? Well, are you attentive? Are you paying attention? Are you alert? Are you empty and open? Are you teachable and transforming? Are you awed and grateful? Are you humble and submitted? The Holy Spirit comes where he's welcome. So let's offer ourselves and ask him to come. God, I don't know what you want to do in my brothers and sisters this morning. I don't know what of this word, if any of it, speaks to them and penetrates their hearts. But God, I pray that you would, by your Holy Spirit, be very clear. Be very clear. and lead my brothers to posture and position themselves to receive and be filled with your Spirit. Holy Spirit, come fill us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.